Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful, sunshiny morning. On the outside and within, hopefully we can have the sunshine of His presence in our hearts. If you'd like to turn with us, I'd like to look over into the book of Acts. Acts, the 8th chapter. Sometimes when you're preaching on a certain subject like this, the temptation is you don't want to maybe use a scripture that is going to interfere with what the other brother is going to bring. Yet it came to me again that God doesn't make any mistakes. And if we both use the same scripture, I'm sure He'll have different things out of the same one if it's God's direction. So I'd like to look here in this 8th chapter of Acts. We have before us a number of young people who have given their hearts to the Lord, and they want to make a public proclamation that they are His and He is theirs. And I believe that we had a sincere, earnest man in this scripture in Acts 8th chapter, and starting with the 26th verse. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. And notice this special scripture from Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Olzostus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. All right, I believe we'll bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts for what Thou hast done. We thank Thee, Lord, for the power of God and for the power in the blood of Jesus. And we realize, Lord, that none of us have anything to offer in ourselves, but if we can simply do as Philip did and take the man to Jesus, preach Jesus to him, that the work of God can be done in every single heart. We pray that Thou wilt look down upon us this morning, search our hearts, try the reins of our hearts, Lord, and give encouragement and strength as we see what God has done. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to think this morning about believer's baptism. I believe that's what we want it to be, is each one that is a real true believer. One that it's not a head belief only, but it's a heart belief. He believes, if you notice in verse 37, Philip said, the qualification for baptism is if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's amazing how that God works things out in such a wonderful and perfect way. Each one of our hearts, each one of our lives. It said in the very first verse we read that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and told him to go down toward the south. And he arose and went. And there was a man of Ethiopia. He was a eunuch of great authority under Candace. He was a great man physically, as far as being entrusted to the treasures that this queen had in Ethiopia. And they came to Jerusalem for to worship. Evidently, he turned his back on the heathen worship down there, had become a Christian, and as a result of being a Christian, he came to Jerusalem to worship. And he was reading, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and the Spirit had everything worked out perfectly. God has everything in order. Nothing's out of order. There's no confusion. If we just can learn to listen to the voice of God. A lot of times we sort of get like me. We in a conversation with somebody, if the conversation lags, I start getting nervous, thinking the conversation has to keep going. But you know, you don't have to do all the talking all the time. Sometimes we need to listen to the voice of God. It's so important that we're close to the Lord and in fellowship with Him, that we can hear Him when He speaks to us. He knows our needs. He knows our weaknesses. And He knows how to help us through those things that even our closest friends or even our parents or godly people sometimes don't know exactly where we are, exactly how to lead us. But God does. And the Spirit came and spoke to Philip, and he said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. Philip was the deacon in the church there, and he wasn't abashed at running and catching up with this chariot. It's the Lord said that he was to go join himself with this man, and he'd probably never seen or heard of this man before. But when God says to do something, then we'll learn in our lives that the sooner that we do it, the more perfectly everything will work out. If we think, well, Lord, I don't know that man. How am I going to catch? He's already went past me. And we start reasoning ourselves. Then we can get clear out of line. But notice what happens then. He said, he ran up alongside the chariot and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And the eunuch looked down at him, I believe, and he said, well, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So I pulled back on the reins and invited him to come up and talk with him, explain things to him. And so Philip was not there to promote himself or to say anything that would be other than giving all the glory to God. And so he looked at the scripture that the eunuch was reading, and the place of the scripture was where it said that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He preached Jesus. He preached the way of the cross. He preached the lowly way. He didn't preach a way of wealth and fame and all that goes with it. Here was this high up man in the army of the Ethiopians under Candace and in charge of all this money. And yet he didn't look up at that man and really think of that as being something. And you know, the little song comes to me again. It's one of my favorites. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. If you can be little, get clear out of sight and say, Lord, just take me, use me, however you will. And I thought, you know, you turn that around the other way, what do you have? Much, if you want to try to be something, is little or maybe nothing if God is not there. It's sort of like you've heard this number of times, no doubt, the young preacher came up with this message and he was all ready to preach and he came smartly up the steps and got behind the platform and he began to preach and it just fell flat. And he was humiliated. He went down, his head was down. And the little Quaker lady said to him, you know, if thee would have gone up like thee came down, thee would have come down like thee went up. If you'd have gone up humble, it doesn't mean that you'd be proud when you went down, but at least you would be thankful that God was there. And you know, that's the way it is with all of us. If we think we're something, we fail. We'll falter. You think you can really teach a class, get up there and try to do it, it'll just fall flat. But if you lean heavy on the Lord, you try to lead the singing and you think you're a great vocalist, you can really move the crowds, it won't touch the soul of man. The old preacher, I always remember this, always comes to me, and he happened to be a doctor, but he was a humble man. He said, you know, he always tried to preach where his messages, where a boy could understand it. Because he felt if it would hit a boy's head, it was about the same height as a man's heart. And if a boy could understand it, it would touch a man's heart. And that's the way Jesus was. He didn't preach way up here where people couldn't understand and they had to try to guess at what he was trying to preach at. He preached right down there where they knew what he was talking about. And it went home. It struck their heart. It took care of the need. Little as much. And I looked this little song up this morning. It says, in the harvest fields now ripened, there's a work for all to do. There's a work for all to do. And I could start down the line here and start naming each one of you. I'm not going to do it because I'm liable to get mixed up. And I have a terrible time with names. The little ones, I don't know very many of them. And these bigger ones, if I'm thinking right, I can get most of them. But for each one of us to do, there is a work to do. The voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. How is your life affecting your brothers and your sisters, your little brothers and sisters, your older brothers and sisters, if you have any? Is it Is it drawing your example? Is it drawing them? Lord, when I come to the age of accountability, I'd like to be like him or her because their godly example is something that I love. And how is your life affecting your parents? Are you, by your godly obedience and example, is it making it easy for them to be godly parents? Or are you putting the pressure on them always to do things that are questionable here, things that are questionable? But in their godly experience, do you value that? And are you making it easy for them to be godly parents? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem too small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Why did he even think about us? And why did he give himself on Calvary for you, for me? Do we think that he's forgotten us now? If he died for us, he thinks about us and he's concerned about whatever is your concerns, it concerns him. Each one of you have things that really concern you and things that you maybe don't tell anybody else about. And the devil may tell you nobody else has temptations like that. But just remember, we all have a number of the same temptations, but we have the same Savior, and he's able to take us through and give us the victory. I appreciate what Brother Joe, I think it was, said the other day. Be encouraged. If the battle is on and the fight is on and you're still struggling, and the devil says you might as well give up. The fight is too hot. You can't go anymore. But if you're struggling for the right, then realize that there's still life and keep on, keeping on. Go all the way with the Lord and he will give you victory. When the conflict here is ended and your race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. What will it be like when we get over yonder? What will it be like to see the face of Jesus, the one who sent his Holy Spirit to be our comforter and he speaks with us and works with us? What will it be like when the earth starts slipping away and heaven comes into view and the clouds lay back on each side and the face of Jesus we see? Will it be worth it all? Oh, I tell you, it'll be worth it all for us to earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints and that is for us today. What was good for Paul is good for each one of you here today. Little as much when God is in it. And when the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child. Well done. There's one verse I'd like to look at over in Exodus. There are a couple of verses here. In Exodus, the fourth chapter, Moses was, the scripture talks about him being one of the meekest man on earth. And God had already come to Moses and he had spoke to him early in the first part of that chapter about sending him to lead his children. And he was an Old Testament saint. And today we have the privilege of being New Testament Christians. The Holy Spirit dealt with them and was with them. And New Testament Christians now have the abiding Holy Spirit within our hearts. And his kingdom is set up within us. That's a privilege that they didn't enjoy quite back there. But Here was a godly man, a meek man. And God had called him, and the first thing he says, "Who am I? What can I do?" And he said in the 12th verse, "Certainly I will be with thee." And that when he went out, that they could say that it was God. In the 14th verse, "I am that I am." And then in the 4th chapter of Exodus, this is something that I'd like for you to just think about. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, and this is what you can think about yourself, when you think, well, you're not up to the task, you're not able, you can't speak fluently like other people can. But he said, "What is that in thy hand?" The Lord's not asking you of anything that you can't do, or that he won't provide the grace for you to do. And you may say, well, I can't speak fluently, like he said over in that chapter a little bit later. And the Lord said, after he said, "I'm not eloquent," in the 12th verse he said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." And he, of course, told him about the rod. He said, "What is in thy hand?" And he said, "A rod." "Well, what can you do with a rod? What can you do with a rod? It doesn't look like very much." You remember the woman that the old prophet came to and said, "What do you have?" "Well, just a little oil and a little meal." And he said, "Well, just give that to me. But that's all I've got. I was getting ready to take it, eat it, and my son and die. But give it to me, and then the Lord will provide." That's maybe not easy sometimes. He said, "Just take your rod and throw it down on the ground." And he put it down there and throwed it down there. And he did like some of us would do. As a big old rattlesnake started coming toward us, we'd run. And Moses ran. And the Lord said, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." You're not supposed to get a hold of that snake's tail. Well, Lord, I don't want to get close to it. But he said he minded God. When it looked like it was impossible, like it was ridiculous, he obeyed God. He got it and picked it up, and it was his rod again in his hand. And he was showing him what God can do. You may be little, but as long as you stay little in your own eyes, you'll be able to be used of God. If you ever get big in your own eyes, or think you're so talented and so have so much ability and all these things, God can't use you anymore. But if we can be as nothing, one more, I'd like to look over in the chapter that we had for our Sunday school lesson in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And in verse 26, I'm going to start reading 1 Corinthians 1, 26. "For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen what the world would look like as foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. And yea," listen to this, "and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And the last verse of that chapter just caps it all off. In other words, we're not trying to get glory for ourselves, but let him, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you give God the glory, he'll open the windows of heaven and just pour out the blessings upon your soul, until where that at times you can hardly contain what God has done for you.